Chapter 4. She didn't invite me in, but she walked over to an old picnic table along the shore of the harbor. I set Jack's cage down on the table and sat down beside him. From here, you could look straight down the harbor, all the way to sea. It was a magnificent view. If you could ignore one thing, we both tried to avoid looking at the dark finger in the incinerator stack on the western shore. If you could only pretend that it's not there, she said. They say it's high enough so that nothing from the burn actually comes back down here. It gets pumped into the prevailing wind and goes off out to sea. It sounded a bit too much like an apology for the incinerator. Everything comes down somewhere. If we don't breathe it, someone else will. Or it will come down in the rain into the sea, kill some fish, or do something worse. You know, the dump has been there ever since I was a kid. I couldn't do anything about it. Heck, I even used to think it was a good place to hang out, to find neat junk. Marina smiled. I guess I know it's not your fault, she said. The sunlight was dancing through her long red hair. Marina caught me staring. My mother and father fought against it and lost, I told her. Then when they started talking about expanding the site, everybody jumped up and down in opposition. My father still had his job with the Department of the Environment then. He was in on it. Burn the junk, the hot shot said. Saves money. It's clean and you can even produce electricity. So the story went. It sounded great, I guess. But my old man didn't think so. He read some research reports. He visited some other incinerator sites. He knew it wasn't that simple. But he let them get away with it anyway. No, he went to the media. He knew that these things weren't as clean as they were cracked up to be. Good for him. Yeah, good for him. Except that nobody listened, and he lost his job. Now we scrape by on the money he makes from freelance writing. My mom has to work, too. He stuck his neck out and had it chopped off. Marina picked up a rock and threw it in the water. She had that angry look on her face, like when I first met her. Time to change the subject. I wondered why I was sitting around talking about garbage with a girl that was so good-looking. You just moved here, didn't you? I asked. Marina sucked in her breath. Yep. My father wanted to come back here where he grew up. He loved this place. We were living in Culverton. Great place. Ever been there? No. I guessed that. Culverton is not a great place. It has a lot of old factories, big ones. And that's why your father wanted to move back here, I said. He remembered this place the way it was when he was a kid. Well, something like that. We weren't exactly living at Love Canal, but the whole area around Culverton, well, the air and the water were polluted. Nobody cared enough to clean it up. Yuck, I can see why you wanted to move. Marina suddenly looked troubled, defeated. Come on, I want you to meet my father. Bring Jack. I followed her inside to the old farm kitchen, past the wood cook stove. I love the feel of this place, I told her. I meant it. It reminded me of my grandmother's house, an old story and a half salt box, heated by two wood stoves. In the living room, a pale-looking man was sitting in a lazy boy recliner watching TV. Alongside him was a table with a bunch of tools and some strange-looking little mechanical contraptions. As soon as we walked into the room, he clicked the TV off with his remote. But when he smiled at me, I knew that something was wrong. It wasn't just the pale skin of his face. It was something in his eyes. It was pain I was seeing. Dad, this is Chris, she said. Hello, Mr. Reeson. He smiled at me, then looked at the cage. Marina took Jack's cage and showed him to her father. Some creep shot his wing off, Marina told him. Mr. Ryson took an immediate interest in Jack. Hold him up closer here, he said. "Watch out, he'll try to bite," I said, realizing that bite wasn't exactly the right word. Marina's father was studying what was left of the stub of the wing. "It doesn't look infected. Is he eating?" "Like a horse," I said. "Jack could eat 3 pounds of fish heads at one time." "Good. Gulls are survivors." "Yeah," I said. "I just wish that there were some way he could fly again. Still, he'll be able to go in the water. Gulls can float and dive. He can be a water bird." "Right. And you never know. He's got a stump there for a wing. You never know." But I knew. I had lopped off 75% of the wing. This was not a bird who was going to fly again. "You need anything, Daddy?" Marina asked. "Not a thing." I thought I should try to make a stronger impression. "What's the stuff on the table?" I asked him. Mr. Rearson lit up into a smile again. "Inventions," he said. "Little mechanical contraptions that I make up out of my imagination." I looked at these odd little gizmos that were made up of metal arms, plastics, gear, and wheels, all in the strangest shapes. "What do they do?" I asked. "Most of them don't do anything at all, but they help keep my mind alive," he said, thumping the front of his skull with his forefinger. "Oh, I think I get it," I said. "Good," he replied, clicking on the TV again. "Now you two get out of here. Too nice of a day to be inside. Off with you." But he wasn't being nasty. It was something else. We went back outside and walked along the edge of the harbor, finding beached mussel shells, cracking them open, and feeding the insides to Jack, who gobbled them up. "I like your dad," I told Marina, but what I really wanted to ask was what was wrong with him. I didn't quite know how to approach the subject without maybe making her feel really uncomfortable. "I'm glad we could move back here," Marina said as she watched Jack. "I just wish he could enjoy the place more." I didn't know exactly what the right word was to say. "Sorry." Marina shook her head. "I wish people would stop saying that." She suddenly snapped at me. I was afraid to say anything else. I waited. The wind was coming up off the sea now. Little wavelets slapped up at the stones beneath our feet. Jack seemed to come to a full alert from the smell of the salt in the air. He worked at a chemical plant for 20 years. He always said it was a good job. Dial Chemical, it was called. Ever hear of it? Never. It was a big company. My dad said it was a good place to work. He believed in it. He even saved some money and bought some stock or something. I could never understand how he could feel that way about the awful place. I nodded my head like I understood, but I wasn't sure what she was talking about. We lived only a couple of blocks away. The air always smelled. He always smelled bad when he came home from work, and it seemed like my mother could never wash the smell out of his clothes or get it out of the house. Then, last year, he started getting sick. It started in his kidneys. Then it was his lungs. Now, her voice trailed off. Her father wanted to come home to die, I realized now. And he wanted to get his family away from whatever it was that was killing him. We had a lawyer, but we didn't get anywhere. He couldn't prove that it was a job. The company lawyers said he could have got sick for any one of 100 reasons. "The system sucks," she said. She was looking far down the harbor again. The wind rippled through her hair, and I knew that I had landed more than I had bargained for. Part of me just wanted back away from her, to go home and not get involved. I just wanted to go racing my mountain bike through the forest or go catch a spit of wind and cruise around on my sailboard. But I couldn't do that. She turned to me now. I could feel how tense she was, how angry. It was like a kind of electricity coming out of her. My father loves this place, this harbor, this coast. If people don't fight, it's going to be like where we came from. She clenched her hands into two fists. For a second, I almost thought she was going to hit me. I wanted to reach out, then touch her, but I was afraid she might push me away. Then she looked off down the harbor. We stood like that for a long time. Neither of us said a word. A pair of shrieking gulls flew overhead and cast a shadow down on us. Jack let out a loud, ruckus shriek out of his own. He wanted those other birds to know that he was one of them and that he was very much alive.